Greetings and welcome to Balance Point. It's been a while since we've recorded or streamed anything. And after about a year's hiatus, we decided it was time to get back in the saddle again. You're wondering where we've been? You should take a look at the previous video that we posted up to our YouTube page and our Facebook page. But today we are going to, and this is kind of a little bit of a catch-up to our life studies, we are going to begin a study in the Gospel of Luke. So turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Today is going to be a bit of an introduction to the four Gospels and, of course, to the Gospel of Luke. And then we will probably get about as far as verse 4 today. But before we begin, we should begin as we always do here at Balance Point with a word of prayer. So let us bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time, approaching the throne of grace and of mercy. We come seeking not just knowledge, but we come seeking you. We come seeking your will and your purpose. But most of all, Father God, we come to seek your presence. And so, Father, today we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we welcome your presence as you come and open the word to us in the name of your Son. Amen and amen. All righty. After forgive me, I have to get used to my software again. So, the four Gospels. Why do we have four Gospels? After all, during the first century, there were many Gospels that had been written. There have been many accounts that have been written. In fact, Luke, here in chapter 1, tells us, Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and I am reading from the New King James. Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So there were many accounts floating around at the time when Luke undertook to put together his gospel and the book of Acts. And really and properly, those two books should be read together as one work. So there were many gospels floating around. But why did the Holy Spirit pick these four out of all the possible gospels? Why these four? I believe that these four are representative of the fourfold revelation of Christ incarnate. And I believe that to understand and to comprehend and to appreciate what God did for us through Christ requires all four Gospels. Because each of the Gospels presents an aspect of Christ. The Gospel of Matthew presents Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The focus of the Gospel of Matthew is on Jesus as the rightful descendant and heir of King David. The Gospel of Matthew focuses on how Jesus fulfilled prophecy. Its emphasis is on the Davidic kingdom. It starts off with a genealogy of Jesus. And Matthew starts his genealogy from David the king. Matthew, as is the case with Mark, and as is the case with John, describe the events of Jesus' life from a single witness. These are the recollections of a single witness. And Matthew was writing to Jewish Christians. And so his emphasis is on the Jewishness of Christ. Matthew is the Messiah, the King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark, on the other hand, is the gospel of the suffering servant. Jesus is depicted in his servanthood. The focus of the Gospel of Mark, which is really the Gospel of Peter, is primarily on what Jesus did. Matthew focuses on what Jesus said. And that's rightfully so, because consider this, that Matthew was a tax collector. He was a government employee at a time when there were no such thing as fax machines and photocopy machines. You're a little bit older than me, a little bit older like me, mimeograph machines. There was no ready way to make copies. And so all transactions were recorded by hand. And so as a tax collector, Matthew would have been trained also as a stenographer with the ability to take shorthand so that he could record the transactions that he was involved with. And that's why we have such detailed account of what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. But you don't have that in the book of Mark. Mark reads, coming from Southern California like we do here at Balance Point, we're steeped in Hollywood. If you were to describe, how the Gospel of Mark is, you would describe the Gospel of Mark as a shooting script. It focuses on what Jesus did, where Jesus went. It focuses on Jesus as the suffering servant, as a servant. And because of that, the Gospel of Mark doesn't have a genealogy. After all, who cares about the genealogy of a servant? Nobody cares. And the audience for the Gospel of Mark would have been the Christians in the Galilee. This is kind of, as we get into the Gospels, you'll discover that you have Judah and Jerusalem to the south. You have the Galilee to the north. In between, you have the land of the Samaritans, the Samaria. In the Galilee, you had sections that were Gentile. And so the audience of the Gospel of Mark are the Galilean Christians, which would have been this kind of mix of Jewish and Gentile Christians. And then we have the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John focuses on Jesus as God. Jesus is the Son of God, B'nai Elohim. The focus is on the deity of Jesus, on his Godhead, on his Godhood. If Matthew focuses on what Jesus said, and Mark focuses on what Jesus did, the Gospel of John focuses on who Jesus is. And just like Matthew and Mark, the Gospel of John are the memories of primarily one person, John the Apostle. John the Apostle. The Gospel of John also has a genealogy, but most people don't recognize the genealogy that is in the Gospel of John, because we're talking about a genealogy of one who existed before time. It is the genealogy of God himself. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. Jesus is a separate person from the Father. Gospel of John. And the Word was with God. Separate person. And the Word was God. Separate person. Same substance. He was in the beginning with God. In other words, Jesus existed before God ever said, light be. And all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So here in the Gospel of John, we have a genealogy of the pre-existent one. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptics because they're very similar. Whereas the Gospel of John is its own thing. It's very mystical. But Matthew, Mark, and John are similar in that they're the recollections of a single person. But then we come to the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke focuses on the humanity of Christ. Primary title of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke is the Son of Man. And Luke emphasizes this when we get to it with the genealogy that Luke presents. Luke has a genealogy, but he doesn't start at David like Matthew did. He instead goes all the way back to Adam. And he goes Adam through Noah. Noah through the patriarchs. Patriarchs to David. And then at David, Luke does something interesting. Instead of going through the royal line, through Solomon, Luke goes through the other brother and ends up down at Mary. Matthew goes through the royal line and ends up down at Joseph. And so Luke's emphasis is on the humanity of Christ. We see more of the humanity of Christ in the Gospel of Luke than we do in any of the other Gospels. Luke is different than the other Gospels, where the other Gospels are the recollection of a single person, a single writer. Luke's Gospel is a compilation. Luke's Gospel is a compilation of many eyewitness accounts. Let's go back and read that again. Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated. Luke's gospel is not just simply recollection. Luke's gospel is investigation. The good news isn't something that is simply accepted. No, the good news must be investigated. The good news must be turned over. It must be looked at. It must be tested. God never called us to simply trust, but God calls us to taste and see. He doesn't call us to swallow the whole thing. But he calls us to investigate. He calls us to check it out. And that's actually why we need four gospels. We need all four gospels to get the complete picture of who Jesus is and what he did. And we need to investigate all four gospels in order to come to that understanding. You know, John's gospel, the purpose of John's gospel is he writes it, we might believe. And by the way, John's audience was non-believing Jews. And so John's gospel presents Jesus as the Son of God that the non-believing Jew might believe. Luke's gospel presents Jesus as the Son of Man, the humanity. And his audience were Gentile Christians. And whereas John's gospel was presented so that we might believe, Luke's gospel is presented, well, let's read it in verse 3. It seemed fitting to me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the exact truth about the things that you've been taught. So where John's gospel was being presented to those who did not believe, Luke's gospel is being presented to those who have been taught, to those who have already had exposure to the gospel and to the person of Jesus Christ. That's why we have four gospels. The four gospels give us the four images of Christ. And if you want to do a little bit further reading, compare the four images that are presented by the four gospels to the faces of the living creatures in Revelation, the seraphim of Ezekiel, and the cherubim of Isaiah. And you'll find a parallel there. The faces of the angels speak to the person of Christ. After all, God's word says that if he be lifted up, all men will be drawn to him. And even the angels themselves lift up Christ. And that's what we're doing here. So why are we going through this overview? Because we need to have a solid understanding of what we believe and why we believe. Again, verse 3. It seemed fitting to me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order. Verse 4, so that you might know the exact truth about the things which you have been taught. And that's what we're going to do as we go through this Gospel of Luke. And so with that as an introduction, let's actually see what these first four verses would say to us by way of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us. There are many accounts of who Jesus is and what he does. Back when I was reading this and I was studying this, I was reminded of a song that was particularly popular among our churches a couple of years back. Good, Good Father. The verse is from Good, Good Father, the first verse. You know, I've heard many stories of what people think he's like. There are many stories about what people think Jesus is like. And when people come to you and say, hey, I love Jesus, our first question should be, what Jesus? Define the Jesus that you love. And there's no better definition than what's found in these four Gospels. The four Gospels. What Jesus do you love? But see, without the four Gospels, you don't have a rounded picture. And so, here's the question. Have you taken inventory? Have I taken inventory of what Jesus has done and compiled it? So when people approach us and ask us, why is it that you believe what you believe? We're ready to give an answer. Because you see, Jesus didn't stop working when he ascended. That's what the whole book of Acts is about. And guess what? The book of Acts is not closed. It's an open-ended book. The book of Acts continues to today. And so what has Jesus accomplished among us? You have a story of what Jesus may have accomplished. If you were a Christ follower, you have a story of what Jesus has accomplished within you. And you shouldn't be afraid to tell that story. You know, over the past week, the Lord's been dealing with me about, because I should have recorded this like 3-4 weeks ago. And the Lord's been dealing with me about, you know, without a witness, how will they know? Without an account of what Jesus has done in us, how will they know? How will they know to believe? How will they know to trust? How will they know that God is trustworthy if we remain silent? If we become hostile, but we should be handing down this truth. And here's the thing, if it's true, it's going to align with what Jesus has been doing for the last 2,000 years. Not going to be weird, it's not going to be strange. But it will be in alignment with what Jesus has done. Verse 2, just as they were handed down to us, there is a rich history of God's working on behalf of mankind that has been handed down to us. That has been handed down to us by those who were eyewitnesses, who were from the beginning. You see, Jesus is not a myth. Jesus is not some bedtime story that we tell to our children. No, there were eyewitnesses to the man Jesus. There were people that heard him teach. There was at least one witness that could take shorthand and wrote down what he said. There are non-biblical witnesses that testify to Jesus' existence and to the things that he said and the things that he did. And those things were handed down. Mostly by people who were faithful to the word. I challenge us to be servants of the word and to hand down what Jesus has done in us and through us. To hand it down. Why? Well, because it's fitting. Verse 3, it seemed fitting to me as well. To do what? To investigate, taste and see that the Lord is good. And to write it out. And to put it in order. You see, God didn't save us for us to be silent. God didn't heal us just so that we could go about our lives and do the life thing. No. God accomplished many things among us that we could tell of his goodness. So that our story could light a path, Jesus. So that our story could show the way. So that the dangers, toils, and snares, as the old hymn would say, would serve as road markers to prevent others from shipwrecking their lives. And further, we're to investigate what Jesus is doing in other lives and investigate them carefully. Why? Because it brings strength to us. It helps us to trust better. So investigate. And it's funny because this book and the book of the Acts of the Apostles are written to a specific person. A person by the name of Theophilus. Theophilus. Who's Theophilus? Well, I believe that Theophilus was actually a God-fearing believer, a specific individual. And his name is fascinating because if you look at the roots in the Greek, Theo is God. In fact, we still have that root in our language today. If you say that you're enthusiastic, you're saying that you're in God. Enthusiasm means in God. I mean, now it's been changed to mean, you know, happy and into what you're doing, but the original meaning was in Theos, in God. This gentleman's name is Theophilus. So the first half of his name means God. Philus is the same, comes from the root that we get Philadelphia or loving. So this gentleman's name is God lover or friend of God. That's awesome. We too ought to strive to be friends of God. And we can only do that to the extent that we accept the gifts that God has given us. The gift of His Son, Jesus. The gift of His Word. Gift of His love. Gift of life. And most of all, because He has forgiven us. And because every one of our sins was dealt with on the cross. The gift of His presence. Which is something that can never be taken away from. Why? Because with the sin issue dealt with on the cross, there's nothing that can cause the Holy Spirit to be withdrawn from you, me. Gift of God is that of being the friend of God. And you know what? If you've never been a friend of God, never come to Him and you've never accepted the free gift, today you can do that. Today is the day. You're the person. You'll make the choice, but God will make the change. And all you have to do is just come to Him and say, God, I was wrong. I was wrong about You. I was wrong about me. I thought I could save myself and do this on my own. I was wrong about You. I thought You hated me. I thought You had pushed me away and cast me out. But I understand now, God, that You loved me so much that You sent Your Son. And that the Son loved me so much that He came to earth and He died in my place. That my sins would be forgiven. That You might take up residence within me. That I might be with You forever. And God, I accept that gift. And if You do that, it's just that simple. There's no need to climb a mountain, find a guru, do any of those crazy things that people do that they think that they need to do to be saved. And if you've prayed that prayer, we would love, love, love to hear from you. And contacting us is very easy. Our contact information is right up here on the screen. If you're watching this on video, if you are listening to the audio, I will give you the email address. You can email us at staff@balance-point.org. That's staff@balance-point.org. You can message us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/balance.point.cc. You can message us on our YouTube page at youtube.com/user/balance.point.church. And you can mail us good old fashioned paper mail. And you can mail us at 1998 East Orris Street, Willowbrook, California, 90222. If God has touched you, and if God is moving in your life, and if you have decided to follow on closer to Him or renew your relationship with Him, we would love to hear from you. And we ask you to do one thing for this Balance Point community. Let us pray for us. We are undergoing transition, several transitions that are going to be big. In fact, one of the transitions we can't even talk about until this coming summer. But for the Balance Point community, it is, and it is a huge blessing that's about to come upon us. And so we ask that you would pray for us. Ask that you would pray for this ministry, that you pray for the videos that we put out, that many lives would be touched, that many would come to know Jesus. And most of all, we ask that you would pray for our wisdom and our safety and our health. If you'd like to take advantage of our back catalog of teaching, you can find that in our ministry center, which is located at www.balance-point.org. And there you will find most of our teaching. We've lost a bit of it due to several server crashes, but the majority of our teaching is there. You can also contact us there. You can message us. We have tools to help you grow right there on the website. And we would love it if you would register for the website. If you're 12 or above, you are welcome to register for the website and get more information about Balance Point and about this thing that we call walking with Christ. And so we look forward to seeing you and hearing from you through any one of those places. If you need prayer or you desire prayer, you can email us and the email address is prayer@balance-point.org. That is prayer@balance-point.org. We would love to pray, and we are a praying congregation. Whoops. We are a praying congregation. Eventually, we will be going back to having live services. And eventually, we will be going back to having streaming services. But that is going to be coming in the summer. And I truly look forward to it. I look forward to having the facility to be able to invite folks over to worship with us and enjoy the presence of God in the company of believers. So with that, let us close in prayer until we meet again via this electronic medium. Father God, we thank you and we bless your name for this word. And we ask, Father God, that as we go forth from this time of your word, that we would that we would live out your word, that we would taste and see that you are good, that we would take an accounting of the things that you do, and that we would pass them on. That, Father God, that we wouldn't just be blind believers, but we would investigate everything to know that we can trust in your word. And so, Father God, I ask that you would bless the people of Balance Point and those who are just dropping in for a listen. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen and amen.